Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, it's great to be here, isn't it? I want you to go to Psalm 11. I was reading some things for my devotional reading and ran across Psalm 11. And in that passage is one of the things that you know you've heard probably well. It says, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But anyway, I was reading that, and I was really just paused for a moment. And I always thought I sort of knew what that was and what that meant until I actually studied it out this week. And it really just hit me. And I just want to briefly touch on it, because what I want to do is have a better understanding of the Scriptures. How many of you know that the Scriptures, to know the Scriptures is one thing, to be able to live the Scriptures is quite another thing, right? I know a lot of people that know the Scriptures, but their life doesn't correlate with what they know. And see, that's a new creation thing, that the Spirit of God moves us into that place if we're keenly aware to His presence and not fight the very thing that He wants to bring. But I want to look at this just for a moment, and then we'll go into some other things that I want to talk about. But it says this in Psalm 11, I trust, and I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, but it says this, I trust in the Lord for protection. And one version says, my refuge. I trust, this is David actually penning these words. And he's penning these words about a time in his life that he's experienced and what happened. But because his life was being threatened, wasn't anything going right for him. And he says, I trust in the Lord for my protection. Can you say that? I trust in the Lord for my protection. And then next words are this. So why do you say to me? Now, somebody's saying something to him. And one, when you study out the very thing of how the tone and the tenses are in these words, the verbs, he's actually saying, how dare you say what you're saying to me? I trust in the Lord for my protection. How dare you? Now, he's a little bit bothered here. He's bothered at what these people are saying that are supposed to be his friends. Y'all hearing me? Supposed to be on the same page. He says, why do you say this to me? And then he begins to say what they're saying. Watch this. Fly like a bird to the mountains for your safety. Run. Look out for your own safety. Fly like a bird to the mountains for your safety. The wicked are stringing their bows, and they're fitting their arrows on the bowstrings, and they shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. This is what they're saying, but they don't stop there. This is also what they're saying. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. Boy, is that not, you know, listen to this. Foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? This thing about the foundations talks about your community, really, when you study, the community is being destroyed. Truth is no longer respected. Justice is no longer practiced. Fraud and violence have taken the place of honesty and honor. Lawlessness prevails. And a character for integrity and virtue affords no longer any security. So you're not even secure. This is all the words of the people telling David, fly like a bird to the mountains. Escape this thing. Get out of here. But see, what's happening, they're doing a false narrative. They're doing a false rhetoric. They're trying to do a language that is persuading David to do something that God's not telling him to do. They even use this last statement. The foundations are being destroyed. What good is your righteousness going to do? So that's what that passage means. A lot of times, you know, I've even taught it this way years ago, when the foundations are destroyed, what righteous can't do anything. But see, our whole process of living is to be taught by God when it's time to be taught something that's true instead of what you thought it was. How many of you are growing up as you go along with the Lord? You know, hopefully you're not, to stay in one place in the scriptures. Now, there's some places that it's pretty solid. You don't change who the Savior is. But it will broaden your knowledge about who the Savior is if you study and long for it and thirst for it. Amen? So he says this. He goes on and says, "What the foundations of law and order have collapsed. What good is your righteousness going to do when everything's falling apart?" David, in verse 4, he's already said, listen, guys, my trust is in God's protection. Why are you even saying these things to me? And then he rehearses what they've said to him. And then he says in verse 4, but the Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord still rules from heaven. So he reiterates, you know, where he is with his standing with God. Look, even if the foundations are being destroyed, even if law and order is collapsing in a lot of places on this earth, in our country, it's collapsing. So we cannot take the position that these people want to give to David and say, you need to back off of this thing and you need to flee to the mountains and go escape and hide yourself. Because your righteousness is not going to do any good. See, that's a false narrative. Where did he send us? Where did Jesus send us? Into the world, into darkness. Among what? Sheep among wolves. The wolves, darkness, trouble, pain, agony, and the advice is to run? No, that's a false narrative. You hear all kinds of false narratives. You know, if you listen to the news, you hear a lot of them. But even though, when you look at the collapse of society, you look at the things being burned and destroyed, and you're seeing innocent lives, and you see justice being called for while doing injustice. It's crazy. It really is. Which one's unjust? Both. Man loses his life. Injustice. Terrible injustice. People's lives being destroyed. Injustice. Terrible. You can't promote this and say you're for this. It's hypocrisy. When you cry out for justice, you cry out for justice, period, over all of it. So that's God's way of doing it. But he says, off the bat, he says, I trust in God for my protection. Then they say what they want to say. And then verse 4, he said, hey, the Lord is still in his holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches over everyone closely, examining every person on the earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He's just not looking at the wicked. He's looking at the righteous as well. You know, and he said he examines the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with scourging winds. For the righteous Lord loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. What is he saying? He's reclaiming his position and setting the record straight for all those that saying your righteousness is not going to impact what's going on. That is a false narrative. It is not true. It's not true for you today. It wasn't true for David then. So David set the record straight. How dare you tell me this stuff? When my trust is in God, when my trust is in the Lord, no matter what's going on, my trust is in the Lord, he'll protect me. And not only that, he will rescue me. He'll rescue me. So we can't look at these things and say, well, you know, our world's just falling apart. Well, it may be. But that's not the end of the story. And it's not the end of you. And it's not the end of your involvement. So it says, what can we do? Your righteousness is no good. I mean, what can we do? You can get involved. I made a bunch of phone calls this week. You know, just like I told you to do last week, I made a bunch of phone calls, calling the sheriff's office, calling the mayor, my next phone call is to the governor of South Carolina. I live in South Carolina. And then after I make those phone calls, I'm going to do some calling up here. I'm going to tell them I'm not a citizen of North Carolina, but I work in North Carolina. I minister in North Carolina, and I'm going to ask them some of the same questions. Why? That is my involvement. Why is that? Because I've got something to do. I've got something to say, and I'm going to say it to the people of higher influence so they can do something about it. Amen? All right. Just you know, I'm sort of riled up a little bit, so, you know. When we begin to compromise our standards of the foundation pieces of our life, when we begin to say, oh, I can't do anything, then you can't do anything. Why? Because you're already agreeing with the false narrative that you can't do anything about it. You can do something about it. You will do something about it. That's the reason we say, you know, we're Father's Vineyard. We what? Love God, love people, and make a difference. If we're not going to make a difference, let's scratch it off and don't even say it. Why be a hypocrite about it? Let's make a difference. Or move it off. I'm not mad at you. I'm pretty passionate about it. I really am. I'm pretty passionate about it. Listen, say what you mean what you say. God still in, he still rules. He's in charge. David said, I'm trusting the one who's in charge. Ultimately, he's in charge. Okay, so the foundations, if a foundation gets compromised, then you will have the tendency to listen to voices that's not from God, because the voices will tell you, what the heck? Just leave it alone. It's no good. It's not even real. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
It's not trying to get you to doubt your faith. It's not even real. Why? Because circumstances seem to dictate that it's not. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Faith believes even though it sees something that is different. Your trust in God is going to be your firm confidence that he's going to get you through this no matter what it is. He will get you through this. You can't depend on other things to get you through anyway. Okay, that's the introduction. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3. I got more to say about it, but I don't have time. To Proverbs chapter 3, we started on this and about the four invitations of God in it. You know, well, I thought I was through with that. You know, this thing where he says at the end, he says, the virtuous will see him. You'll be able to see him even through the rhetoric, even through the false narrative. You'll be able to see him. You'll be able to hear him. You'll be able to see him. There's a passage that I will go to here. I was going to let it be just part of the other side of the message of this, but what I want to tell you is that we need to be able to see. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3, Matthew chapter 13. I'll be here just briefly. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, it says, it is given unto you the mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It has been given to you the mysteries. What are the mysteries? Those are the things that are unknown by human reasoning. And it's only revealed through divine revelation. In other words, it's hidden to, he said, but it's not given to the others. To other who? The ones that don't know him. There's mysteries, there's secrets of heaven that God wants to say, I want to reveal them to you. And he begins to show you how. He says, verse 14, he says, by hearing they, he's talking about the others, by hearing they shall hear, but they will not understand. They will hear, but they will not understand. And seeing, you shall see, but you won't perceive. See, perception will lead you to comprehension. And we need to comprehend things that God, but unless you perceive what is going on, you won't have the comprehension. You won't have the understanding. A lot of people see what's going on, but they can't comprehend what's going on. They can't see God in the middle of it. He said, they'll see, but they will not perceive. For the people, why is this? Watch this. The people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and they have closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. You want to be able to understand with your heart? Well, number one, you've got to start saying, okay, what is this thing about? Why is my heart wax gross? What does that mean? The wax gross means you have grown callous. Calluses? Guitar players have calluses on their fingers. Why is that? Because of friction. Friction of rubbing and doing the strings, it builds calluses. This thing about calluses, it means hardening. It means being insensitive. And listen to this one. It means being unteachable. What was that last one?
Unteachable.
Say it out loud.
Unteachable.
So this gross whackness, this grossness, this wax gross of the heart means it's calloused. It's unteachable. Why? I already know this and I don't believe that. Even though that is what God said. Y'all hearing me? See, when your heart becomes calloused, it becomes harder. And he says, this is the reason why they do not have understanding. So their understanding escapes. I don't understand this thing. Well, the reason you don't is because you're not teachable. Why? You're already set in what you think you know is the truth. And you're not moving from it. Even though God is speaking to you, God is saying this and saying this and saying this, wanting you to understand that unless you hear what I'm saying, unless you see what I'm doing, you're not going to understand any of it. So our heart has to be teachable. It's like going to school. How many of you struggled with math? No, a lot of people didn't. Look, me, I struggle with grammar as well. I know, I can tell. I get it, you know. So listen, just because you struggle with math and you don't believe that this and this is true, did that alter what the truth was? No. So you could stay that way and fail. Are you hearing me? You can stay that way. I'm not going to believe that. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, then fail. Failure will come. Why is that? We haven't applied what God has been telling us because we just don't believe it. Y'all still here? Okay. Now, but see, that's not all of this. What this passage says, he said, because this thing, he says this. He said, you become hard, you're insensitive, and you're unteachable. Well, you've already made your mind up what you think's right. You've believed a false narrative. And God is speaking to you the whole time saying, I really want you to get this. I really want you to see this. But see, we have to be teachable for that to happen. Then he goes on and says, their ears are dull of hearing. This word dull of hearing, watch this. This word dull of hearing means heavy hearing. Dull of hearing, you will not be able to hear when you are heavy and when you are weighed down with weariness. That's what this means. You have been weighed down with weariness and you cannot hear. During this time we can look and see what all is going on and see what all is happening, and then you begin to get weighed down with heaviness. Are you with me?
Yes.
Well, when you get weighed down with your hearing becomes dull of hearing God. That's the reason, you know, sometimes you don't need to watch the news. Sometimes, turn the news off. Look, it will be there when you come back. Turn the news off. Turn praise worship on. Praise and song. Get the Bible out. Start reading. Well, you know, I don't have time. Listen. Sometimes we're just too busy. So you become heavy and you come weighed down with weariness and you become dull of hearing. He's saying, but you can't hear. And when you cannot hear, you will not understand. Understanding is very important in these days. If you see and don't understand, you're not going to be able to impact with your righteousness what he's wanting you to do, because you're almost, well, you know, well, it is pretty bad. So I don't guess, well, we're done for now. Our country's gone. No, not. I'm still here. Are you? You still have a voice? All God wanting to do is just wake us up to the place of saying, hey, we've got to do something about this. Let's engage. Let's get active. So when you become weighed down, it's almost like in your hearing, you're depressed. Why? Because the weariness has got a hold of you. And you're depressed and you can't hear. And when we can't hear, we can't understand. Can't see, we're not going to be able to understand. See, the seeing thing, it says that and they have closed their eyes. This means they have deliberately, on purpose. It's not that they, well, I just fell asleep. No, they deliberately shut their eyes to what they're seeing. Okay. They're doing this less at any time. Less at, everybody say any time. I mean, it's not, well, when, any time. Just any time. What part of, how much of any time is any time? Right now? How much of any time is any time? Right now. No matter what, right now. As I heard of one of my uncles, he said, right now is when it's going to happen. Right now. So it's right now. It could happen now. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen with an expectancy from God. You said, hey, what is God doing? What God want me to do? What's God want me to hear? What's God want me to see? You have to be teachable for that to happen. There's a lot of things out in the culture today that tries to present you what they want you to believe. And if you latch hold of that, you will be conformed to what the culture wants you to do. And that's what Paul said. Don't be conformed to this culture, but be transformed by the renewing. Get your thoughts thinking the way God thinks. Become teachable. Well, bless God, I've been saved for 25 years. I know about everything they ought to know about religion. I had a man to tell me that. He said, I think he said 30 years. And I said, I know about everything I need to know about religion. And I said, well, you probably do. But how much do you know about Jesus? You probably do you probably know a whole lot more about religion than I do. Even though I've been pretty religious in my life. I mean, I know a time when I was very religious. Brenda said, if that's really how Christians are supposed to act, then I don't want to be one. Now just wear that for a while. Being a Christian, an early Christian, and been taught by religious people and believing it to be the truth, but become unteachable when the truth comes. Then all of a sudden, something happens in your life and it turns you just like that. Why? Because, reality is showing up. This false narrative is not really what it's supposed to be like. This is not God. You know, at that time, Brenda didn't even want to go to church. So I grabbed my Bible and dragged Brenda. when you picture that, not in drag her, but you know, I'm a man of God, bless God. No, I was born again, but I was very carnal and unteachable. Why? Because religion had been filling me up with false narratives about how Christians are supposed to be. Y'all don't know anything about that. I know a lot about it. I know a lot about it. Okay. Well, I got 2 minutes, and I got a whole message to give you. The people's heart is unteachable. Have you got an unteachable heart? Have you ever made your mind up about certain things? Have you ever made your mind up about how God is? You ever made your mind up about how church is? You ever made your mind up about how work is? You ever made your mind up about how family is? Have you ever made your mind up and are set in stone, sitting in a place of saying, well, you know, oh well. He said, that's when you're in those places, you can't hear him. When you're in those places, you can't see him. When we're in those places, we can't understand him. And he wants us to grow in our understanding so it will impact our living. If you cannot live this, then why teach it? This is a living, now this is the Logos, but there is a living word that is inside this Bible. It's alive. Make it law, it becomes dead. But by the Spirit of God, it becomes alive. And it begins to show you things if you're teachable. All you got to do is say, I want to be teachable. All you got to say, you know, God, I am setting my place in my life right now to become teachable. I want to hear, I want to see, and I want to understand. See, the Bible says, and when you begin to have understanding, your life becomes fruitful. On the seed and the sower, your life becomes fruitful. Without understanding, you won't bear fruit. Because fruit comes from understanding the kingdom of God. How it works. Well, somebody said, well, I don't understand God. I said, who does? But I understand his kingdom. And I have perceptions of God that line up with who he is. I want to know more about him, don't you? So I can't stop being taught. I can't stop having someone to teach me. The little ones can teach you just as much as the big ones. If you listen. If you have a heart that says, I'm teachable. Or you can say, now you can be like the disciples. Y'all, get away from him, kid. Kids, get away from him. He ain't got no time for you. And the whole thing about Jesus, hey, he scolds them and said, you don't understand. See, you don't understand. Why are they not? They're not seeing, they're not hearing, and they're not understanding. So Jesus says, bring the kids to me. I'm telling you, you better listen to your children. Sometimes they'll be telling you exactly what God's wanting you to hear. It's true. The little ones will especially. And kids, you need to listen to your parents because they'll be telling you exactly what you need to hear. They have wisdom that they have to tell you. They have wisdom to show you the ways of living. They'll show you, you go down this trail, it ain't nothing but bad news. Why? How do they know that? They went down trails just like that one or went down that one. Become teachable. Everyone in here should have a cry out to God, make me teachable. Make me teachable. I want to be teachable. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to see what you're doing. And I want to understand so that in the midst of all this out here, that me and my generation will be able to impact with righteousness and justice and honor. Somebody said, you know, and I've said it too, you know, we're losing honor in our society. Yeah, we're losing it, but it's not gone for good. Why? Because we have righteous people that know how to honor, and they're going to steal honor when everybody else is dishonoring. Well, I'm trying to find out if there's anything rolling around in here that I need to get out. Become teachable. If your heart becomes hard, becomes calloused, you're insensitive. There's not a blood flow there because it's calloused. It's hard. It's difficult. And become insensitive. Pastor Charlie, when you have blood work, now you used to stick your finger. Did they have a hard time where you do the strings? I mean, I remember years ago, I went and had blood work done. And I played a guitar a lot, and they kept pricking, trying to get through all the callousness. Why? I was just insensitive to it. Why? It was just, it had been so much friction that I'd become callous and not open. How many of you want to be more teachable? Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for life today. We thank you for the message. We thank you, God, that you're putting us in a place that we can have revealed to us the very secrets and the mysteries of heaven. But yet, we can't receive them when we're unteachable. We can't get to them, and they can't get to us because we're at this place that we've become unteachable. We've come to this place of knowing what we know and thinking that's all they are. So God, in Jesus' name, touch all of our hearts. And where we have waxed gross, where we have become callous, we ask you now in Jesus' name, tenderize us once again. So we can truly hear what you're saying. So we can truly see what you're doing. So we can truly gain understanding. And by understanding, we will have the revelation of the secrets of heaven unfold to us. So we'll know exactly what you want done, exactly when you want it done, and how to do it. Lord, we don't want to be walking zombies. We don't want to be just walking around aimlessly. We want to be a people with purpose, a people with vision, a people that has a destiny that is being not just known, but being lived out. So help us in our next steps when we move. Help us in our next steps to be more teachable than we have ever been before, and that we would become exactly the people that you want us to be in this very time that we've been called to live in. And we ask it in Jesus' name, we pray. Online people, our streamers and dreamers, thank you so much for joining in. And we'll see you again next week, 10:30. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.